Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get an ad-free edition of the HLS podcast, plus get a weekly bonus episode recapping the national picture, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. Again, that is patreon.com/ndtex. You will also get some other exclusive content in the form of posts every week as well. So make sure to join our Patreons, including new Patreons Stacy F. and Shane P. No, not the other Shane that podcasts with me. This is a different one. But make sure you join them as well as all of our other Lowell Patreons. Thank you all for your support. Hello and welcome to an emergency podcast because the fairy godmother fucking exists. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex, and you can subscribe to this podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast feeds at. We'll have a sim with an interim virtual head coach over at twitch.tv/herlittlesons at some fucking point. Discord, that's been fun. herlittlesons.com/discord. I'm sure we'll have feelings at herlittlesons.com. Well, Shane, damn, did we pick a hell of a year to close down shop? I did not think we were going to say farewell to the Brian Kelly era before HLS went off the air and off the interwebs. How are you feeling tonight? Because I'm going through one right now.
You know, it's weird. Like, I keep thinking about how I felt when I found out Brian Kelly was leaving Cincinnati. I remember where I was when I was watching the Alabama-Florida game during that year afterwards, and you know it all kind of like being confirmed around that time, and like it not us not having a social media presence to share the impact of that feeling, but you know it's still feeling kind of like the same, like a little bit of shell shock, but like in the should I be hopeful, you know, can I believe in, you know, the future. Now it's like I know exactly how those Cincinnati fans must have felt, because at least they had an inkling it would happen, right? At the time, they had the sense like, okay, he's going to elevate to a program, and this has been the name that they've been flirting all season, yada yada yada. This has like nothing of that. It's like this has a much more of a feeling of like, what the fuck, man? Like, what the ever living fuck is going on? Because, man, color me stupid or naive or whatever, but you know, after 11 years, I just genuinely had it in my head that he was just going to fucking stick it out, man. Like, he's got his fucking guy. He's got Tyler Buchner for the future, even more in place coming along. They are consistently in the playoff. And today, you know, it's like the simulation ran a random check and we pulled up a snake eyes, because this time they wanted to test the timeline where daddy leaves home for, you know, his midlife crisis piece of ass. And it's like, okay, here we go. I just didn't expect Notre Dame to be in this spot during this fucking carousel, man. This cycle of all cycles.
Yeah, and that's what sucks. It is, this is the one cycle I did not want Notre Dame to get involved in any way, shape, or form. And I was actually like, oh, thank God we're not dealing with this shit. Because Oklahoma's open right now. LSU's open. Florida, thankfully, is filled. And there was rumors that apparently Florida kicked the tires of Brian Kelly, too. Who knows which way is up on those. Here's what we do know right now. Piece of breaking news. This just hit the Twitter feed, Shane. Inside the Garage is recording an emergency podcast.
Oh, shit. So I was wondering if they're actually going to get together.
This is going to be one of the most unique pieces of audio we've ever heard in college football history, because you got players that are going to get paid to give their opinions on their head coach leaving them. Without notice, without anything else, Kyle Hamilton had tweeted a picture of him in LSU gear, which was freaking me the fuck out. I'm like,
that really freaked me out. Yeah,
I'm like, buddy, don't you go to the NFL, sir? Don't you go be a Bengal Bayou or anything like that? So that's going to be must listen. So hell, if you stop this podcast, go listen to that. Come back and listen to us, Jokers, because I'm going to be glued to my podcast feed for that one.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Here's the thing. What we do know is Brian Kelly. We will get full contract details eventually. There are two different reports right now. One is Brian Kelly is getting $15 million a year. Another one is that he is getting 10 years at $10 million plus incentives. So the truth is probably somewhere in between there. I think very much BK got his salary doubled.
It sounds like $15 million is the number.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fair to say his salary got doubled. LSU basically went and blank checked the situation. And really blew Lincoln Riley's deal out of the water. Brian Kelly is building a home in South Bend, like as we speak. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets bought above market value because that's what they did for Riley.
Right.
Homes don't cost as much as they do in Southern Cal, but they were paying Riley $6 million to get a house there. And apparently this all comes down supposedly to the facilities at Notre Dame. Hmm. Brian Kelly reportedly was, you know, kind of, he wanted more facilities, wanted better, you know, a new players lounge, really, I guess, kind of getting into the arms race a little bit more. Not like the Goog is a piece of crap, but I mean, think about it. It was built during the Weiss era. It could get a facelift. I have a feeling, though, they may have told him, hey, we just kind of renovated the whole fucking stadium. Like, tap the brakes a second on all your ass.
Apparently, they were willing to accommodate that. I don't think any of that is as big a factor as the obvious, which is the money was a fuck yes. Like, yeah, they gave him $150 million, basically.
And I honestly think that's what this came down to. Now, you can hate the way BK left, and, you know, I would be more angry if he didn't show us this is who he was to begin with. And I'm not saying that Brian Kelly's like a shitbag of a human being, but this is the exact thing he did when he left Cincinnati. He basically fucking left a banquet. Damn near never. I'll be to the bathroom. I'm going around the corner getting some cigarettes, and he never came back. That's basically what he did. He ghosted everybody. There was an assistant coach that said, I just walked out of recruit's house and the news broke and now I look like a fucking asshole.
I mean, he's the first coach to ever voluntarily walk from Notre Dame to another school.
Insane. Insane.
Like,
first coach to ever leave for another job.
I mean, there's a larger point to discuss at some point about how the insignificance of quote unquote records in this sport, because, you know, the winningest coach at the school ever, the first coach to ever just fucking waltz, like, do these things mean anything? Or is this guy just being a person and circumstantially falling into a place where stuff like that traditionally had never been done before, you know, an institution steeped in that word. But it's like, it makes it still feel like to be the ones to, I guess, live through that era, the changing of the guard in this fashion for the first time just feels, it's not that it's like a shell shock feel. I'm not emotionally like wrecked. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like,
I'm shocked. I mean, I'm not wrecked either.
I'm just so amazed that it played out this way, that like at the end of the day, we're probably, I'm really hopeful, but I feel like also probably going to be staring at Marcus Freeman, head coach at Notre Dame.
And it's, you've like, got to keep some level of consistency. And that's where feel too.
If not him, then nothing else. Then shit's really going to be turning. I mean, I don't know if you can put Mike Elston in place, but, you know, there's going to be just like a big shakeup in the recruiting problems that Marcus Freeman is really the only way to stop the bleeding on. So he needs to be kept around. Whatever is done, I think, no matter what, if this is happening, period, the end. Step number one is secure Marcus Freeman. Secure him, because from there, a lot more dominoes will fall. We already saw the Twitter reactions of players, and it can only go so much further with recruits in this, plus players in the NIL era. So just, you know, bear that in mind.
Yeah, we're in a different era. There could be some. I mean, I saw Styles, his brother's at Ohio State. He's like, hey,
a commit. Hey, his brother's in the next class. He's committed to Ohio State.
Yeah, he's like, hey, let's just light it up, go Buckeyes. And he retweeted that. I'm like, oh God, no, yeah, don't do this to me.
I suspect we're gonna. Apparently, the Priester just alluded to in their emergency podcast that they were already hearing rumblings of a number, a number of Notre Dame players planning to enter the transfer portal, and that things can just be kind of like really pushed along with this news. So it's got this really bad feeling in my gut, not just because Brian Kelly's pulling out the rug, but there's a weird feeling of like, if they can't do enough to please the right people, we could be going through like yet another like era change that's going to suck.
Yeah, you know? And that's what worries me. It's like, this was supposed to be the rebuilding cycle this year.
This was supposed to be the mountaintop. Yeah.
And the crazy part is, we still very much could be in the playoffs without a head coach. And I swear the justice...
There's a big part of me that just loves the idea of like Marcus Freeman walking in, winning two games and winning a national championship by accident. Do you know what I mean? Like, that would be the... I mean, talk about taking him from recruiting hero to recruiting Goku, Super Saiyan God. Like, that's what he would become. He would become unmatched in his recruiting fucking, you know, the heat he would generate in the offseason if that happened.
Without a fucking doubt. I mean, that's... I want that more than anything, not necessarily to shove it to BK, but because it would be fucking hilarious. Again, we're always looking for the way that we're going to dismount this thing. Dino, buddy, I love you, but he says, oh, I think a certain Notre Dame podcast that's called It Quits might go another season. I'm like, nope.
Not a chance.
Hey, we went through the entire BK era damn near, at least I did. So I've been at HLS for... I think since year two of BK, 2011 is when I came on board. Jeez. So, yeah. Man, it's crazy. So, you know, and my feelings, like, I'm not angry. I've had some very angry texts and DMs. I'm like, look, BK drug us out of the abyss. Did he win the national title? No. Which sucks. I wish he had. I'm not going to fault him for chasing the biggest ass bag in college football right now. He is going to be the highest paid coach in college football. Notre Dame wasn't going to do that. I don't think that says anything about Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is actually being smart, saying no man is worth $15 million for 10 years. You're going to retire before 10 years, bud. Correct. That's buyout money. He's setting himself up for the most comfy retirement ever. He's going to be able to recruit and have everything he wants. The restrictions are gone. You know, it's...
Yeah, he can even get fired in 3 years and he'll be fine.
And basically we've seen all this money be guaranteed for Franklin. I haven't seen Tucker's contract yet. I bet there's a boatload of guarantee. Jimbo Fisher, Lincoln Riley. This is just the market right now. And basically Notre Dame has very much said they don't want to get involved in that kind of funny money. It's kind of an antithesis of what Notre Dame is. And I don't know what to tell you. I don't want, as a Notre Dame fan, Notre Dame to perpetuate that personally. Now, there may be a time where they're going to have no choice, but the rest of college football ain't there yet. And some of these, we are at a point to this bubble is about to burst. And there are going to be some people burned to holy heaven right now, holding some bags and writing some checks that they don't want to watch. Coach O is still going to get paid $21 million fucking dollars while they're paying BK a nine fucking figure salary a year. Not nine a year, but a nine figure overall. Like, that's ridiculous. This is a school and the taxpayers are going to foot that bill. They don't even have a functional fucking library on that campus, man. Like, that's not my alma mater. I don't want my alma mater to go down that road. Part of what makes, you know, I've always enjoyed about Notre Dame is the fact that they are trying to do a balance. I obviously am fine with them taking some liberties to make football a little bit better, because the other side of that coin is you give kids from underrepresented communities and socioeconomic situations a chance to make generational changes for their family. So it's not just a, hey, we get a guy that you is a quote-unquote academic risk. That academic risk, if they can pull it out at Notre Dame, man, there's all kinds of things they could do further on, whether or not they go to the NFL or not. That's what I want to see happen down the road. I don't want Notre Dame to lose sight of that. And that's just way too much goddamn money to spend. I mean, I would be a hypocrite if, as much as I said, your endowment's so fucking huge, why is all this COVID bullshit seeming like you threw it together with fucking duct tape and spit and everything, where you're just shoving students into weird isolated situations, giving them a fucking packet of salt and not much else, and then say, oh, but I want them to pay a head coach $15 million a year. You could give me Newt Rockne and Lou Holtz in their prime doing a Dragon Ball Z fusion ha, and I'm not taking that deal. Is stupid.
Yeah, and leave it to Louisiana, the brokest fucking state in the union.
Unbelievable.
To do this shit. But you know what? Again, Brian Kelly probably doesn't expect to be there for more than five years, tops. You know what I'm saying? He'll probably coach, you know, until the age of 65. And, you know, who knows? Something will happen or something will just go down in the sport or maybe in the state. And he'll just be like, I'm good. I'm out. And that'll be his prerogative. And he'll walk away with a ton more money for his family and his future. And whatever, you know, that's none of the decision bothers me. It's just the shell shock of like, now I need to like think about the players on this team and who's going to stay, how they're going to keep them, what that means for what they're, you know, they're going to play Ohio State at the beginning of next year. It's just like, there's a lot of like, did Brian Kelly run from things getting harder, you know, in his later years? Probably, you know, at a certain point he has to realize in year 11 he's not doing it. He's probably not going to live up to it at a certain point. Like, maybe he just didn't want to keep working. That's fine.
He's going to go to a very, I mean, he's going to have less restrictions. He may not have to work as hard, but the demands on him is going to be
the hurdles that are, the hurdles in his way are huge, are much bigger.
That's very
and
true.
Are more consistent and are more consistently present. So it's like, I'm not sure what he's looking for.
And he would make like, half as much dealing with five times as many hurdles.
Yeah, I just get like this sentiment that like, you know, he probably, there's probably a part of him that like watches Lane Kiffin, you know, and at Ole Miss, and he's just like, that dude's just like having fun, not giving a shit, and like he doesn't have to, you know, he's at Ole Miss, no one gives a shit what happens at Ole Miss, or you know, he probably saw that Edo, you know, could put on his britches and just like trip and fall and land in a national championship and then walk around be BMOC for a whole year and just collect $9 million to be an asshole. And he was like, you know what? I can at least keep my head on straight and do a better job in that fucking loose cannon of a location. Why not?
I'll interview my defensive coordinators. I won't hire Bo Pelini sight unseen. Right. I can definitely do a better job than this. I mean, yeah, and I think you hit it earlier. I think lesson one or rather priority one is trying to keep as much shit together as you can, because beyond that, I really don't know who you go for. Anybody that's screaming at their phone saying Urban Meyer, turn the damn phone off and no,
it's not happening. It's not happening.
It's certainly not happening, but you don't want that.
No, you don't want it either.
Urban Meyer doesn't want it either. Like, none of them wants it. Somebody said Shelly Meyer hates Under him. I'm like, cool, I hate Urban Meyer.
Great.
Like,
that works better.
Yeah, the dude apparently, like, went back to, he's sucking in the NFL right now, but he's still going to get paid. He's not going to quit after year one. He'll quit after year two or three. Like, he's going to do that first. But even then, I mean, he went back to his stomping grounds and, like, barely was able to keep his dick in his pants. Like, you really want that running around Notre Dame? Sounds like a real bad idea. And fuck off with not. Matt Campbell, because we just heard his whole togetherness and not giving a you want that at Notre Dame? You're
my
insane.
My problem is like, okay, real quick, like let's all like calibrate for a fucking second here. Okay. USC. USC just got the guy in the coaching carousel. Right? Just
from a blue blood. So if you're worried about Notre Dame's status, like they did this shit to Oklahoma, y'all.
He did it. They did it seemingly from oblivion. They just kind of snuck in and were like, here's so much shit you can't say no. And Lincoln Riley was like, yes. Okay. So what makes everyone so convinced that the brand of Notre Dame can't yield a similar massive coaching upset if they so fucking chose? You understand? Like, yes, they may want to tap Marcus Freeman, but let's say they move on to, you know what, if dicks are out on the table, let me unzip my pants. All right, like maybe they, what if they go to that approach? Would it not be plausible that Notre Dame could pull off a USC and multiply upon it? I feel like if they really wanted to, If they really, really wanted to, just upon their own volition, they could just walk into the conference Brian Kelly just decided to go to and start talking.
Sup, Lane? How you doing?
Yeah, if they so chose. I mean, I feel like if they really wanted the true biggest names in coaching, I mean, they could probably pull Dabo Swinney's ear if they really, really wanted to. Okay? I would hate it. I would hate it so deeply. But if they, what I'm talking about is really just about the level of reach they could attain should they decide to be a USC this year. Because,
they
can
absolutely do it. I don't think that's a doubt. It's that they, and this is where I think Notre Dame fans hit a divide. It's Notre Dame has an ideal of what they want to be, and they are always trying to balance football with it and how everybody else handles football. I think you can go hard in the paint without spending $10 million plus a year.
That's what I'm saying. I really think you can. I'm just not comfortable with all these, like, the names that we're hearing. They feel like such fucking, like, just settlements. Like, Matt Campbell. I mean, even Luke Fickell. I'm like, I want him to do it somewhere else first.
There would be some hilarity to Luke Fickell only because...
To take another Cincinnati coach.
And that both teams could end up in the playoffs with fucking interim head coaches.
Like, yeah, winner gets Luke Fickell, basically.
That would be pretty funny.
I just don't like those names enough. I just feel like Notre Dame could do better, man. Like, they could now. They could,
but honestly, Marcus Freeman, when you hired him, you knew that he was going to be a head coaching candidate for somebody soon. So now you got to make the decision, okay, do you want him to be your head coaching candidate? And I know... That brings up Bob Davey concerns, because when Lou Holtz departed, we took the hotshot defensive coordinator. That didn't work out like any kind of well. Mm. But I don't know. I don't know that much about. I was too young for that era. I will readily admit.
Same.
I don't know about Davey's recruiting acumen. I know Marcus Freeman's a fucking hoss, and do not discount the fact. And I'm not trying to be super woke here. But if Notre Dame, with all these head coaching vacancies, they say, hey, we have one of the premier guys that's a person of color that's going to be a head coach. Mm-hmm. You know what? We're just not going to fuck around. We're going to do it. We're going to pull the trigger. That would be gigantic. And this isn't some kind of Ty Willingham type thing to where he had a couple good years with Stanford. This is a calculated gamble. This is also going to keep your team together. This is going to help recruiting down the road for at least a year or two. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, you can pull the ejection seat in year two or three and go try again. But you're going to be able to figure things out. And I guarantee you, just the way Marcus has represented his time at Notre Dame and the way he's talked and the way he sells the university and the work ethic he brings, quite frankly, he's outworked Brian. I mean, it's been obvious. We're not trying to, like, drag BK by saying he doesn't work as hard as the recruiting trail. Nobody works as hard as Freeman, man.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to be able to compete. You need to be able to have Marcus Freeman or somebody in that, you know, of that cloth that just goes out and hits the recruiting trail and says, I know all these hurdles. I'm still going to out-recruit everybody I can. Like, the 1 5-star I can get a cycle, he's mine. That's the attitude you need to have. And Notre Dame has not had that on its staff until Marcus Freeman. So I'm willing to make that calculated risk. And if it bites us in the ass, it bites us in the ass. But I think short term is the right play. It is a gamble. Yeah. But, man, the rewards, the potential rewards are so huge. And imagine if Notre Dame wins a fucking national title with a person of color. Just that would have been so far beyond anybody's expectation. As somebody that's half Hispanic, that makes me happy personally.
But really, it really calls to mind that image of Father Jenkins holding Martin Luther King's hands. You know, that just
the Hesburgh photo. Yeah.
Hesburgh. How far?
Yeah, Jenkins is holding hands with Supreme Court justices and spreading COVID. Anyways.
Yeah.
Political podcast. Kavanaugh. There we go. Bring your 1-star reviews on.
Hesburgh. It just makes you kind of think about the distance traveled, I guess, within the program. If that moment were to, like, just to not even just come to fruition, to be sprung upon us, because all of this is wildly unexpected. You know, if that somehow came to fruition, and if Marcus Freeman somehow just like outmaneuvers, you know, Nick Saban and Kirby Smart on his way to a hilarious national championship or some insane shit, like that the legend would never die, you know. I don't know what to make of it in terms of like what it means for the long term outlook of things right now. I really just want to know how what's in place now is going to shake out. And, you know, there's not really a ton of work to or benefit to be gained to speculating, because we just don't know exactly the finality of everything, like what components are going with him, because we saw Lincoln Riley's take, you know, five fucking people, including his staff. Is Kelly going to try to, you know, take Bayless with him, take, you know, Reese or, you know, anything, yeah, you know, pine for Freeman himself, all that kind of stuff.
I hate to cut you off, Shane. We have late breaking news again. This is so weird. We're usually not being able to do this, but okay. Pete Sampson from The Athletic, apparently Notre Dame uses Teamworks. I don't know if that's part of Microsoft Teams or some other chat thing, but Coach Kelly apparently has messaged the entire team. Here it is, word for word. Men, let me first apologize for the late night texts and more importantly for not being able to share the news with you in person that I will be leaving Notre Dame. I am flying back to South Bend tonight to be able to meet with you in the morning, but the news broke late today and I'm sorry you found out through social media or news reports. I will have more to share when we meet tomorrow at 7 a.m. But for now, just know that my love for you is limitless and I am proud of all that you have accomplished. Our program is elite because of your hard work and commitment, and I know that will continue. I will share more in the morning when we meet. Again, my sincere apologies for not being able to be the one to share the news directly with you, Coach Kelly. So, you know, I'm sure a player has fed that to Pete, and Pete would not put his ass on the line otherwise. So I guess some good news is it's not going to be an exit like Cincinnati. It's going to be different. He will actually face his team face to face. I hope that doesn't mean he's also going to talk to some assistants and try to drag him back with him. But shit, BK, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, he has to have known the information was going to be dropped. He has to have known that, you know, his agent was going to, let you know, answer a question or just respond to a text and, you know, just fucking commit to the bit at that point. Yeah, I'm glad he's going to do them the proper service of speaking to them. I'm very curious to hear this Inside the Garage emergency podcast, which I think was recording before this was sent out or right as this was sent out, because it was sent out 18 minutes ago.
Well, the timestamp is 10:08. Yeah, so 18 minutes ago. This just happened.
It was sent 18 minutes ago, so I'm certain the ITG podcast probably picked up a recording portion of when the message was received. I cannot wait to
fuck,
hear
man.
That
oh,
reaction.
Fuck.
But I'm glad, and you know, at the very least for them, that he's, you know, that he's taking the time, taking the step to communicate with them directly, set the expectation that he will look them face to face and in person.
I'm glad he's actually doing that. He right. owes well, the players
I,
that.
I genuinely like wouldn't have expected at this point, after everything that Brian Kelly became synonymous with Notre Dame in regards to, that he would just cut and run without doing them a proper, you know, true goodbye, and not the Irish goodbye that Spencer joked about on Twitter. Spencer Hall, that is.
You're just gonna have to brace yourself for the Notre Dame jokes, man. Just let it.
No,
happen.
No, no. I'm just saying it was a good one. I enjoyed it greatly. But I expected this, so I'm glad that it is what he's going to do in the end. And I just hope that the fucking program can keep as much in place as possible, and that it doesn't, you know, get kicked back the fucking decade, or not a decade, but, you know, back to the 5 years ago in terms of the trajectory. I hope that they can sustain success and ride that out.
Yeah. That's a lot to take in all at once. So there's still going to be more. I just saw, I'm sorry. I know a tweet from Pete. My daughter asked if I wanted a margarita. She's 11. Kids are the best.
Dad, oh, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I told my kid, too. He's like, you know, hey, it's like, Dada, what's up? You're on your phone a lot. I said, well, Notre Dame, they just lost their head coach. He's like, what, they fire him? I'm like, no, he's going to go to another school. Well, where? He's not going to Oklahoma. Like, my kid, he's picked up on everything I talk about, I swear. I know, no, he's going to LSU, and his face is like, really?
Yeah.
Texted my family, which includes an SEC alumna, and she's floored, too. It's like, why? I'm sure it's a big old bag of money, and that's honestly what it comes down to. I really think he was willing to listen because he knew. It's one of those things, like, real talk. Here's me working. I was frustrated with my job pretty heavily, I would say back in the spring or so. And I start poking around and actually did a couple interviews. And nothing really panned out, but I was so frustrated with how things were. It's not that my job was bad. It's not like I hated my job. It's just like, well, shit, what else is out there? And nothing was as good as my job. But I guarantee you, had somebody come to me with an offer and said, you know what? I'm going to take down those roadblocks that piss you off. I'm going to pay you twice what you're making right now. Deuces, I'm gone.
Goodbye. Yep.
That's what I feel happened here. He decided to listen, and he got a I'm stupid if I turn this down offer. And I hope he explains that in an effective way to the team, because there's going to be some pissed off and confused faces in there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's weird. We're all going through one, and I cannot believe we are about to walk into either a playoff game or a New Year's Six Bowl, and it's going to be either an interim coach or fucking Marcus Freeman or Tommy Rees as the new head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, this is weird. It's weird.
Hi.
I hate it.
Man.
Yep.
Get that message at 7 a.m. Fuck, I don't want... My boss telling me, hey, I'm going to tell you why I left at 7 a.m. I'm like, yeah, fucking record it. I'll catch it later.
Yeah, yeah. I have a contractor coming to my house at 7:30 a.m., so I'll be ready for that one. I'll be there for the updates.
All right. Ugh. Well, I mean, I don't know what else we can actually add on this one.
No, man, I'm at the point now where I got out the, you know, the exhale that when you take a deep breath of emotion and you just exhale all the things you're feeling. Like, I did all that on Twitter, all the different, you know, joking responses and reactions and whatnot. I'm just genuinely interested in seeing how this plays out. You know, I want to skip forward. I'm looking forward to going to sleep here in a second. I'm going to skip forward to the part where I can easily digest, you know, what the plan of action is, or at least what we confirmed and what we're hearing. Because I'm sure a lot of work will be done within the next 12 hours.
Yeah, it's next man in. Now it's just the person in charge. We got one more, Ross Dellinger, who is one of the people that helped break the news. He was the second source that confirmed the initial report by Pete Thamel. Apparently, Shane, we were wrong. Notre Dame did have a coach leave without being fired.
Oh, is that right?
It happened in 1907, where Thomas A. Berry left Notre Dame for Wisconsin. So it has been 14 years. Since we had a coach leave for another job.
Man.
Hamilton also tweeted, hey, he's not transferring. He's just an LSU fan.
He grew up as an LSU fan. He's just a life imitates art. Okay. I think it's fair to say, like, first coach to leave Notre Dame since national championships and 10-win seasons became a thing. How about that?
Since football was modernized and Michigan actually had to play fucking football teams.
Right.
That's crazy, though. That is absolutely insane. But yeah, I mean, that's the emergency pod. We had people that said they wanted to call in. I'm like, fuck, guys, I'm not setting that up. I have to edit your calls in and all that. So I'm sorry. I know everybody has to vent. That's what Discord is for. By all means, fire away in Discord. We're all working through shit right now. I'm still floored. I got more to drink, but I still got to wake up for work in the morning. I know you got a contractor coming early in the morning. Look, folks, the beat goes on. You still got a great team. And really, that's what I'm hoping for, is that whatever the next move is, it helps keep this team in place. There are too many damn good players. There is too much genuine excitement for what's going to come down the pipe in 2022 to have it all blow up in our face now. So
too many good coordinators to be leaving them walking out of houses saying, I feel like a fucking asshole because I got the news dropping right as he
you thought that sounds like Tommy.
Yeah, that sounds like Tommy, because Tommy, you know, Tommy doesn't fuck around with unexpected nonsense. He's got that face.
I'm thinking of that screen grab I got when he's looking at his phone as the game winds down at Stanford. He's like, motherfucker.
Son of a bitch. Yeah,
why is half the media texting me right now? Oh, shit. He fucking left.
Yep. I believe it.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll have another pod or post or something. We wanted to get this out there because, well, tomorrow's Giving Tuesday. I'm not podcasting. I'm going to be doing an extra live stream. We'll see what happens. Fuck, we know as much as everybody else does right now, including some people at Notre Dame, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is. So with that, we're going to lay out for now. But folks, we are going to keep going through the rest of the season, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast over on Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Oh, Apple Podcasts, too. Join us in Discord. Let us know your feelings at herlittlesons.com/Discord. Twitch.tv/HerLittleSons. We'll have a sim eventually. And of course, I'm sure we will have thoughts and all kinds of stuff at HerLittleSons.com. But until next time, y'all, go Irish. Let's hire a damn good coach. Have a good one.